Welcome to the Weekly YouTube Rumor Gallery, brought to you by the Bloody Ledger Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at bloodyledger.com. I'm your announcer, Paul Canute of PaulCanute.com in Columbus, Nebraska. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, which I do apologize. I am not sure who our co-hosts are today. Pardon me. But we will be joined by our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, on bringing us the topic of disarming a protected enemy. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection. Using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, and rework, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. So you can learn a lot just by listening, but do call, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at the forum.luckymojo.com and call into the show. So let's go ahead and just get this show started with Conjurman Ali and Madam Nadia.
Thanks, Papa Newt. I have to say, people who don't know what's going on behind the scenes, that was probably one of the most professional displays that we have seen so far. So I am at the helm today. Miss Kat and Nagashiva are away, and there were some technical glitches, and the show was kind of running a little bit behind. So we got Papa New about halfway. We made him live halfway through the jug band waltz, and without a word from me or anything along those lines, he just dove right in to give that flawless and wonderful introduction. So I got to say, I am madly, madly impressed, Papa News. That was absolutely fantastic. Welcome, everyone, as you can tell by my deep and sultry voice. I am not Miss Cat. I am Conjurman Ali, and I am joined by the lovely Madam Nadia, who is filling in for Miss Cat. We're still waiting on Miss Michael, who I'm hoping will join us very soon as our guest. She's one of our regulars, and I do look forward to having her on. Until we can make her live, Miss Madam Nadia and I will just talk a little bit. It's been a while since Madam Nadia has been on, so I want to catch up with her before I turn over to her. I just want to say Miss Cat is away. She's traveling, and we do wish her well, and hopefully we will have her back next week, and the show will go on as usual. On my end, I've been busy. I was on a spiritual retreat for a little while, so I was away from the phone for most of the week and was unable to communicate with people. But it was very productive and fruitful, lots of wonderful insight. I'm back, I'm refreshed, and I'm ready to go. So I'm very excited to be here. Let's check in with the lovely Madam Nadia, who is honestly my favorite substitute co-host. How are you doing, Madam Nadia?
Now, after all these compliments, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you, Conjurman Ali. And I want to ask you a question. When you say you're going to a spiritual retreat, does it mean that there is a bunch of people now that disappeared, enemies and things like that? Or, you know, your reputation after all, so I'm just wondering.
Yes, my reputation seems to be, for whatever reason, far more dark and evil than it needs to be, or that it is reflected. No, it was just a very, it was about spiritual growth, and I went on a retreat with fasting and prayer and meditation for a period of days. I was away from technology, or most of technology, not entirely away from technology. We still had some basic stuff. And it was fantastic. It was great. It was done to as part of a longer spiritual process to awaken the senses, to bring spiritual fulfillment, to give insights and whatnot. During the time we did reading, it was me and a couple of colleagues. It was fantastic. But I am back, and I am happy to be back. Spiritual retreats are great, but there is only so long you can be away from the world itself. I have my moments of monasticism, but I can't say that monasticism is how I would like to, or the monastic life is something that I would like to do all the time. Just a bit of monasticism here. There a little asceticism on top of all the work that I do. But how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been very good, very busy, all kinds of interesting things are brewing, and have been very lucky to be able to teach recently various sort of occult topics and things. So it's always very, very rewarding, and I find myself being very humbled, reminded of all kinds of things, and my own teachers and things like that as I go
what
through
were
that
you teaching
process.
You?
But I was teaching students. I was teaching conjure. I was teaching card reading, of course, and things of that nature. Even a little general information about Kimbanda here and there. So,
really?
It was a good time. Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Was this done online?
No, that's personal. Tutoring.
Personal. Very cool. That's very exciting stuff. Yeah, would you mind sharing maybe a little bit of something you've shared with your students? Insight or some trick with the rest of us, because I'm very curious. You're a woman of many mysteries and a woman of many wonderful tricks, and I say that in the best way possible. So would you mind sharing a little secret with the rest of us, maybe something you shared with you?
Think about it. You just put me in the hot seat over here. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to share? You know, I think that about one of my sort of niche topics is cartomancy or divination in general. And I think a lot of people come to divination and they're like, well, I have to memorize everything. I need to know different things, let's say the right or weight. I need to know the meanings of the cards. And then I'm going to be good, or, what the position of the spread. And then they come to do a reading, and it just sounds like they're reciting it from a book. So to teach people how to look at the interaction of the cards and communicate with that and feel it, and not just in their mental sort of mind, but also feel it in their body and their psyche and their spirit, and start to recognize messages that come outside of just the cards that's on the table, but you know how it is. Like, is it somebody's ancestors at my court, whatever it is. I'm not going to go deeply into the tricks that I teach, but this is definitely something that's very important to me for people to understand.
Yeah, you brought up something really important here, and that is the ability to kind of connect and feel on a deeper level. And I think that's something that when we think of divination, it can sometimes be a bit of a tricky kind of balance, because most people, from my experience, kind of fall into two categories. Those that are really intuitive, and those people are all about feel. And those that learn by correspondence, right? So this means that, this means this. And I think that with any type of oracle, especially with the cards, you can fall into the trap of just reading them as kind of superficial or on one layer without making that deeper connection. So I definitely think you're on to something there. Connecting on a deeper level with any type of reading is essential to becoming a skilled reader, being able to kind of see beyond the superficial symbols to see what story they tell you, what spirit is being revealed. So I think you're definitely on to that. But before we go any kind of further, let's invite, because this can be a topic all its own, we really could just discuss about making a deeper connection in divination. Let's invite our wonderful Miss Michael, who I think I finally have got on. Miss Michael, are you there?
Wonderful.
I think so.
Wonderful. We can hear.
Yay.
Welcome, Miss Michael. So glad to have you on.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
I did want to say one thing. Yes, go ahead.
One thing about intuitive versus correspondence readings. Sometimes one can turn into the other, because some people's memorizers are pretty small.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Most people, you want to find out where your kind of skill lies, and then try to balance it out. So, for example, for people who are heavily intuitive, I always recommend to them that they should memorize those correspondences because it helps to ground the intuition. Because if they don't do that, sometimes I find that the intuition can lead them in all sorts of fanciful directions. And then you fall into the trap of, and this happens with people who are extremely intuitive and very psychic, that they can fall into the trap that fantasy and delusion is taken as psychic impulse. And that everything is a sign and everything is a psychic impulse. And as a result, they end up kind of getting lost in their own mediumship. And I've seen that happen to some fantastic readers. And then the reverse is true. When people really memorize the correspondences, I tell them, look, now stretch beyond. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel. What impression you're getting. So you're absolutely right that they can absolutely lead from one to the other. I think that was a very, very
important point. They need to. I think they need to. That's to make a really profound reading. I think a person needs to be able to do both. And I think that my idea of memorization is not that memorization is bad. I think it's essential because this is what we always can fall on. Because sometimes you sit there and you have a client and you just don't feel it. You know, it's not there. So what do? You go back to the card. Go to what you know. And if there is the intuition comes through, it usually comes through later. And it's always a great trick, talking about tricks, is that when you're in a state like that, instead of trying to imagine what you intuit from that, just going to the hard facts of the cards and telling it to your client and seeing your client just go like, oh, my God, how did you know that? And you know that you're in that sweet spot and you really work from there. But I think things need to work together. It's like a dance, you know. They're all these little pieces come together and they create a full reading. And it's lovely to see how different readers, you know, take air, for example, how different readers do it. We all do it slightly different, but it's always an experience.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right there. Before we really go any further, because I think we can really dive in, I wanted to ask Ms. Michael if she'd be willing to introduce the topic that she's presenting for us today so that we can get our panel discussion going. I know that it's going to be a great, productive discussion. So, Ms. Michael, why don't you introduce a little bit about what you'd like to talk this afternoon?
Okay. All right. Well, I occasionally have a client whose enemy is very well protected and trying to bring my client down. And so what I would like to discuss today is how to get around those protections, under, around, over, through, you know, where's the sledgehammer, or do we, you know, what other tools do we need? And I always love these panel discussions because, you know, as experienced as we all are, we all learn new things. So I don't see why that tonight should be an exception just because I'm doing some of the talking.
Yes, I think that's a great, great topic. I want to ask you, what are some of the methods that you use to get over those kind of obstacles? Because they can be tricky.
They are very tricky. They frustrate me. I have to say that. They frustrate me. I have called, now, two of the strategies that you have used, that you have laid out for protection, can also be used to overcome protections. I've had some success with this. The guardian spirit. This is the main reason I started working with Santísima Muerte, who is not native to Hoodoo. She comes from Mexico. The other one is personal concerns. If I'm going to discipline somebody, I got to have their personal concerns.
Those are great points, and what you mean, when you mentioned the guardian spirit, you're talking about what I've discussed, layers of protection at the workshops. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
For people who are interested, you can get the black folder book from Lucky Mojo, which has all the flyers from the past workshops, and in there I have a bit on making guardian spirits as well as on protective magic. And you're absolutely right. Learning and I think that your own is something. Learning the type of defenses is very important because they have different ways of dealing with it. So, for example, one of the things I talk about in my protective work is that you would create, there is one form of protection known as barrier making, right, where you create barriers and walls. Some people call them shields. Some people call them wards, whatever you call them. But it's to keep people from coming into your property. It's to stop tricks from being placed on your property or on your person. And it's usually done by laying out a line of something, nailing down property, so on and so forth. if you, for example, someone is protected in that way, you can use works that scatter in order to break up that protection. So working with black mustard seeds, poppy seeds, black pepper, things that are meant to disrupt and dispense scatter will break down those barriers. So, for example, I was working, working for a client who had a professional attacking them. Their rival had hired a professional, and this professional was attacking my client. And I often get involved in these kind of miniature magical wars, if you will, these battles, because I have those type of clients that come to me and go, look, everything's gone wrong, help. And the person we were dealing with had that form of protection. So I created a mixture of powder with a bit of goofer dust, and but it was custom for this particular form of protection, including seeds, extra black mustard seeds. And I had it sprinkled on the property, and it broke through the protection, and our work started to stick. So knowing the type of protection is really important for breaking through it. Madam Nada, what about you? What are some things that you do when it comes to dealing with people that are protected, that are shielded, and that are kind of safe from being attacked or worked on?
I think that my starting point is to understand who is the person. Let's say, do I know who I'm actually trying to dissect here? Or is it somebody that it's a worker that I have no idea who it is, and I just need to figure that stuff out? So that's going to be the starting point. And again, going back to sort of divination, necromancy, actually working with St. Cyprian and trying to figure out how the head of my enemy works. I don't have exactly the explanation of how it works for me, but I am kind of good at magical profiling. So I can go if I can focus on that person, I can start taking layers of their psyche apart. So I would look for what is their greatest fear. You know, you can, as they're trying to protect themselves from being attacked, and focusing on that, I would actually make sure that I distract them by sending some nasty kind of things that they're scared of. So their focus is broken. And then, fill them up with those poppy seeds, with black mustard seeds, you know, all that, then will stick so much better. But it really depends who you're working against. It's definitely it can be very tricky.
You're absolutely right there. And you are very skilled at magical book, but you're a very skilled diviner. You're absolutely correct on that. Knowing not just the protection, but knowing the person themselves is very important. If someone has a guardian of some sort, right, you want to work with your own guardian. So if they have an ancestor, you want to work with your ancestor. But there's also ways around that, right? Rather than meet fire with fire, there's ways of going around it. If a person has a particular guardian, you can find out. If you find out what that guardian is, you can try to appeal to someone higher up in the hierarchy, or someone with more power. So, for example, if you find out that someone is protected by, a certain saint, you can appeal to a saint that you know that your rival saint listens to. Or if it's a particular spirit, like the spirit of an ancestor, you might call upon a spirit of the graveyard, or you might go to the graveyard that spirit is buried in and appeal to the kind of head spirit of that graveyard to reel that ancestor back in. This comes out of really Georgian, North Carolina, and Virginian forms of hoodoo, where it was believed that every graveyard had its own spirit. That in addition to the dead that were there, there was like it was usually the first person buried, the oldest person buried, or the most important person buried there. And that spirit was in charge of the graveyard. It can call spirits. It can send spirits out. So you would go and you'd ask, like, look, this ancestor is in my way. Can you get rid of him? And it would recall that ancestor, call that spirit back. Or appealing directly to the spirit themselves. For example, if someone's protected by Santissima Muerte, you're not going to find, that many spirits more powerful than Santissima Muerte, right? You can call on God directly, or you can go directly to Santissima Muerte and ask her, look, my case is just this person has done this, and this. Please, allow me to carry out this work of justice. And they will and the spirit will enter. And I say Santissima Muerte as an example. The reality is that Santissima Muerte is not a traditional spirit of voodoo. But you can do this with any type of spirit. For example, if they have a police officer, a spirit that they have gathered the graveyard dirt of and sprinkled around the property, you can appeal directly to that spirit and say, look, this is my case. This person has wronged me. This person has done this. I need to, you know, have some justice. So you appeal to that spirit, and then they can. That's a way in. So these are ways of working around protection, because protection isn't just putting up walls. It's also working directly with spirits, and you have to know how to appeal to spirits or where the spirits exist within the kind of cosmology that you're working with in order to work around that. Miss Michael,
this reminds me of something that Dr. E used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead, Nadia.
No. Now we definitely have to hear what you got to say.
Okay. All right, Dr. E. He used to say, if somebody sends a spirit after you to mess you up, you invite that spirit in and offer him rum and cigar and say, welcome, let's be friends.
Yeah, being well connected in the spirit world or friendly in the spirit world is actually a very smart thing to do. Also, while remaining, you know, making sure you maintain your own authority. The thing about hoodoo is that you're not subservient to the spirits, right? This is a symbiotic relationship. And hoodoo, deeply inspired by Christianity, comes from the idea that you yourself are given dominion, that mankind is given dominion overall. Right on earth via the authority of God. So you always have that authority, and in that authority you can get more forceful. But the approach is friendliness and remembering that you can appeal to spirits, you can speak to spirits, that you can invite them in, that you can work with them in a symbiotic fashion is going to get you pretty far. I wanted to give a real quick working that I sometimes do, and that is working with an egg to kind of scatter protection. And I've posted this on the Lucky Mojo forum before, and it's one of the more popular posts. What you do is you actually take a personal concern of that person. If you don't, you take their name, and you stick it into an egg. You blow out an egg. You put their personal concern in there. You put it in with confusion powder, poppy seeds, black mustard seed, black pepper, red pepper, all the things to kind of scatter and break apart. You can also add mullein, or you can add valerian if you'd like. That's also quite good. And you set this up in a triangle of three candles. These are usually black candles that you've anointed with black arts and with confusion oil. And you pray over it 3 days, letting that candle burn down. On the last day, you take the egg and you throw it over that person's property or at their front door, and that will break any protection that they have, giving you a way into the house. You can follow it up by another egg with the type of powder that you want to add. You can start lighting candles on that person, but you want to use the egg as a kind of way of blasting through any protection that they have.
That is beautiful.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Very, very cool.
What are some works that you do, in addition to strategy, what are some things that you actively do, whether it's candle work, working with dolls, to kind of work around the protections that people build on themselves?
Are you asking me, Countrymanoy?
Yes.
Or Ms. Michael? Oh, okay.
I'm just listening eagerly.
I think that something that you mentioned, like the spirit of the cemetery, I like working with spirit of the space. So let's say the person that I'm interesting to disarm is working in an office building. So instead of looking for their spirit necessarily, I might go to that office building, I might collect some dirt, and I make some offerings to the spirit of that place. And then when we are on talking terms, then I would start questioning, you know, tell me more about this person. What is their weaknesses? What are they doing? And so forth. But also now, because I have that link to them, I can work directly on that earth, or I can mix that earth and bring it back. So essentially, you know, like blasting that egg into their property, working with something that they is part of their life, where they walk all the time, I find it very, very powerful, and it can get me information sometimes that otherwise I would not get. And also, if you think about it, if you really want to mess with somebody, when you start messing with their professional life, especially if they're not, you know, maybe they're doing their cool stuff, whatever, nobody knows, but when you start messing with their professional life, they're going to start losing their focus. They're going to start focusing on their work, and then you go, oh, okay, now it's fine, you know, now it's time. Let's take it to the next level and see how it's working. So that's working with different earths and powders is something that has been successful for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Ms. Michael, can I ask you, would you be willing to share a case to kind of come up against these kind of blocks or protections? And what was something that you did? Tell us a little bit about the case, you know, without obviously breaking any confidentiality. And what was something that you did that really worked?
Okay, well, I'll give you one where I failed and one where I succeeded. The first one I had was a lady whose husband decided to divorce her, was carrying on an affair with someone who had no personal concerns the client could get at all. Just a picture and a name, not even a birth date. And she had trained the erring husband not to eat anything except what the enemy had cooked. And so we had no way to get to the client's husband and no way to get to the other woman. We worked that case for 3 months as best we could. I even made a doll baby, but with no personal concerns, it went nowhere. We tried to mail her to Paris, and no personal concerns. She stayed put. Okay? The other case was when I started working with Santissima Muerte. A lady told me that her husband had been it was another erring spouse case, another erring husband. And she said, this African lady called on an African worker to drag my husband away and make him have an affair. And he got into all kinds of trouble with the military on account of this. So I knew I had to hit the ground running. And so I started calling on Santissima Muerte. I just said, you know, I've got this lady who's under a curse, Santissima, and you know, we barely met, but here's a ginger scone I happen to have in the house. And she said, oh, that's good. I'll take your case. And the lady came home. I mean, the husband came home. He wasn't quite right. He wasn't quite ready to be straight with her, with his wife. But he came home, and, you know, it was easier to get a grip on him after that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I want to mention something, that if you have an issue with personal concerns, right, if you can't get a personal concern about someone, there's kind of two approaches that I would take, right, and this is how I would do this. One is I would send in a Trojan horse, right? So this can be done a variety of different ways. It can be done in the form of a gift, if you know the person, right, or if someone else knows the person. You can give a gift that you fixed. You can use, for example, double cross powder and oils, et cetera. And that's a great way of getting something in the door. This is it's people who have some skill with on the more psychic side of things. You would call it also anchoring, right? It becomes a link by which you can either then to use to spy, dreamwalk, enter into the premises, or attach your works, right? So you can send a gift in as a sort of Trojan horse that then allows you to get access to that person if you don't have personal concerns, and you can do your work that way. If you're not particularly familiar with that person, I mean, people forget, mail is really accessible. A piece of paper or something printed out, a mail, that then you use some lemon juice and you trace out a petition, or you make a symbol on the back of it, you dust with some powders, and you put in the mailbox, and they take it home with them, or they handle at some point. Another great way. If you can't get to them, if you can't send the Trojan horse into their property, you then have to wear down the protection. And one of the great ways of doing this is an upside-down bottle spell. So you take their name, their photo, whatever it is, and you place it into a jar. You put some vinegar into it. You put poppy seeds, black mustard seeds, black pepper, red pepper, And you make sure that there's quite a bit of vinegar, not just a little bit. You will actually have quite a bit in there. You can also use this with war water. And then you're going to make sure it's a cork bottle. You're going to take a nail and stick the nail through the top of the corks all the way so there's like a nice little hole. You take it to a riverbank and you bury it upside down so that as it drips away and as it flows away, their protection and their power weakens. And you'll actually see it physically. The person will become more and more kind of confused, disheveled. I've done this working on a person of power and privilege, we'll just say. And you could literally see it. This is a person who started off wearing three-piece suits, and his shoes were always polished and shined, and it was always put together perfectly. And as the couple of days went on, all of a sudden the shoes were scuffed up, the tie was loose, suddenly his clothes were baggy and not fitting, and he looked disheveled, and he was complete. And you could see the kind of chaos seep in, and the power was gone, the strength was gone, the protection was gone, and that was then my opportunity to take it further. So you can use the kind of upside-down bottle spell or the draining bottle spell as a way of breaking down the protection over time. If you can't get something through, you can then work away at that protection.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Nadia, have you ever used bottles? You mentioned spirits quite a bit, but I was curious, are there other methods that you use, for example, bottle spells, candles? What's your preferred method when it comes to dealing with situations like this? If you're not working directly with a spirit, what is it that you might be doing? Is it altar work? Is it powders? What is it that you'd kind of be approaching this as?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to my usual answer. I'm a triple Gemini. There's no something that I do consistently and just follow that. But really, it's about the situation, the client, and what I can gather about the person that I'm working with. And that will change. Sometimes it will be candles. You know, that's what you need to do. And maybe it's you can set one candle or you can set several ongoing things and it will work. Sometimes it's going to be jars. I do enjoy working a lot with jars, and I enjoy putting Solomon seals in there a lot. I find that quite useful. And also, I've been working a lot with ashes, which is interesting. Mm. Instead of burning necessarily candles, writing petitions and working with like Saturn seal or Mars seal.
Mm-hmm.
And doing an ongoing thing where you just burn them and you use the ashes and you can add different things to that, but you end up with a pretty pretty interesting mess, and you got to be careful with it. It depends on what kind of energy and how much of this energy you put in. But then you can use that to dress your candles. You can use it to put in your jars. You can use it to put it on the land of your enemy. And that stuff moves, you know, with the air. It's like breath. It moves around so quickly. Mm-hmm. It hits the air. The target really, really, really fast.
Yeah, that's
one
fantastic.
Question.
I love working with ash.
Nadia, Solomon
yes,
seal
sir.
Root?
No, I use that
for wisdom.
No. I'm talking about the sigil. I'm talking about Solomon seal.
Oh. Okay, Solomonic seals, and there are many of those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and Solomon seal, the root itself, is a wonderful thing to use when you try to figure out what to do, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That and master root are the bomb. Just put it as an incense.
Put it in everything.
Yeah, it's not one of those, you know. But it's really helping to connect to the work and understand what you need to do. And I find both of those are very concretizing. I don't know necessarily how to articulate it, but there are some herbs that I find are very heady, so you're in that space for a little bit, and then you get out, and it's like you've been in a trance. But these guys, you actually sit there and you're like, yeah, I know what the situation is. I know what the truth is, and I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be looking right and left. I'm focused. They help to focus.
Yeah.
At least to me, they really work like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I also want to echo, I think the working with ash is absolutely brilliant. I do want to mention here that we're talking about this protection as if it's root worker given.
right? Or that someone has done something actively to have some form of protection. That's the kind of been the underlying assumption of our conversation. But in reality, my experience has been that most people have some form of protection in their lives, whether that means their mother has prayed for them, or their ancestors are watching over them. People have varying degrees of protection in their lives. So that's very, very important to realize. Before you go start throwing curses around at people, recognize that most people walk around with allies. That just as we don't walk around in this world alone socially, neither do we walk around alone spiritually. So they're all protections. Now, the more powerful the person is, or the more powerful the connections, the more knowledgeable they are, obviously the more powerful the protections. But everyone has some base level protection. That's why, you know, every time you kind of look at someone, they don't burst into flames immediately, or you know, or you're just annoyed with someone, they don't immediately have horrible things happen to them. But life is about these kind of checks and balances in power. Now, Dragon Gypsy mentioned, I'm so freaked out about people messing with my protection after all this talk. Anything I can do to make my protection impenetrable? So, yes, this talk has been quite a bit about how protection can fail, how to get around it. But the reality is that if you are right in your life, you are not going around messing with everyone, right? If you're not overextending yourself, you stay right with God or your creator, you stay right with the spirits in your lives, and you do what I have mentioned in my protection work, is that you create layers, that you use multiple forms of protection, then you will, on the whole, be good. You'll be all right. The key is, and Ms. Michael said it, cultivate your allies in this world and the others. And that's absolutely right. If you do that, you should be fine. Just something to bear in mind, that you don't need to be terrified or scared. The world is not out to get you in any way, particular shape or form. Just do right by yourself, your creator, and your allies, and you will be good. I think we are at the end of our talk. This was a great, great panel. Thank you for that, Ms. Michael. We're going to have Papa Newt come in and start leading us to our calls.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's special co-host, Madam Nadia, and our special guest, Ms. Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their phones through questions, through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it back to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 910 in North Carolina. This is Charlie. Charlie, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in and listening, so welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I see you have not gone to this cat or contramentally or any other workers on this particular situation. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. And Charlie writes, I'm conflicted about remaining in my job as a high school history teacher due to the drama and tension among senior teachers in my department. While the administration and the students are fine, my department is in shambles. There are two teachers especially who are causing problems, and I don't know who to trust. There is a massive power struggle. The gossip is eating me alive. I'm teaching at the same high school I graduated from in 2009, and only those two veteran teachers remain. I'm one of the five new hires, and others are considering leaving. How do I deal with the toxicity? Turning back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you very much for that, Papa Newt. Gia said that's a travesty, and that's absolutely true. Unfortunately, as a person who also works in education, though in higher education, I can say that, yeah, departments are pretty dysfunctional, and you get a bunch of people with really big personalities or with different personalities, it can be quite a handful. We're going to have Madam Nadia do the first reading to see what's going on and what can be done. So, Madam Nadia, why don't you take over for us, please?
Okay. Hi, Charlie. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing okay. Kind of dreading tomorrow, but...
the dreaded Monday. I hear you.
Yes.
Charlie, before I start looking into the cards, can you please tell me what zodiac sign are you?
I'm a Virgo.
You're a Virgo. And then I'm going to be throwing the cards here. What are we looking at? Are we looking to solve the situation, or are we looking to see what's going to happen?
You know, I'm looking for some kind of solution, if possible, that would just keep me in the job, keep me going for this next month and into the next year without going completely mm-hmm. crazy. I'm on blood pressure medicine, and I'm 25, so.
Oh, we gotta work on that. The Virgos tend to worry a lot, aren't they?
Yes.
So the cards that I'm using today are called La Vera Sibilla. It's an Italian oracle, and I pulled three cards for you. And I don't like to give, bad and dark news, but what I see here in front of me is that whatever remedy you can come up with, it's going to be a temporary solution. It's going to be a Band-Aid.
Mm.
And it feels to me like you have a certain plan and you want to be able to survive a certain period of time, get to the next stage. And if you're not, I would suggest doing that. And the card that I have in front of me is one, it's 11 of Diamonds, it's Messenger, and it's reversed. So it's already telling me that there are going to be some news that are unpleasant, and it goes straight into the second card, which is 4 of Diamonds, and it's false. We see like a cat sort of creature sitting and looking at us. So I can definitely see that there you have some unethical people who are nasty. That's what I can say. And they maybe can put up a show, but ultimately they are nasty and everybody sees that, and it became a situation of being bullied. And you can do some things to fix the situation for now. And the last card that I have here is death. But on the death card, I have a coffin. So, you know, it mm-hmm. depends how much you want to work them, but I would go as far as going a box spell or a coffin spell on them because it's not going to mm-hmm. stop. It's not going to stop. And unfortunately, the people that are working with you, they don't want to deal with it. So that's they're leaving. So that would be my suggestion. But ultimately, I think that what I would be doing is work on how do I get myself out of the situation to a better job, and with focusing on, you know, on a really nice supportive staff, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, it does. It does very much.
Okay. And I'm sure my colleagues will have more information to tell you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I relate to that a lot. There's definitely been a problem for a while, I think, and it's gotten worse within the last couple of years. So,
thank you for that, Madam Nadia. Ms. Michael, what would you like to add? What did your divination show you?
If you decide to do a coffin spell, I would say make it a mirror box. And include, because you want that shit bouncing off a wall of protection that's between you and them, and back
right.
because that's what they deserve. Okay, and include in your prayers the only way out is repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's definitely at that point.
Yes, I did pull some cards. Were you going to do the second reading, Ali, or should I?
No, please, you go ahead.
Okay, all right, I got Temperance. You want to, you know, your heart is in the right place and you want it to show. Popular phrases, go Spock on them. Practice medium chill, you know, keep interactions trivial and superficial as far as you can. Don't take part in any drama. This is you're smart enough to know this already and be doing it. The next card I pulled is the Seven of Cups. There are many, many options open to you, some of them terrible. And if you happen to pick one of those, it's going to end with the Ten of Swords, stabbed all over with many pains. Mm. But there are other options open to you that are wonderful. Some could even lead to fame. Others could certainly lead to a righteous and upright life that will make the world a better place. And, you know, being a teacher, that's got to be attractive, right? Now, in the deck I use, the Golden Tarot, in the corners of these cards, of the Seven of Cups, rather, is two groups of angels, and they're doing research. They've got papers they're writing on. They've got books open. They're looking up at this veil that this saint is holding that has all these, the traditional Seven of Cups goblets on it. And they're discussing and comparing and researching and helping you choose the best options. So do reach out to spirits that you work with to make plain the best options for you. You might need to seek a job elsewhere, but there is work that you can do to sweeten your situation while you're still there. And, you know, so many things you can do.
You know, I kind of took this job as a last-minute kind of thing. I'm a lateral entry teacher in North Carolina, which means I'm taking classes while I'm, you know, beginning my teaching career. But I'm actually in the process towards ordination in the Episcopal Church. So this is sort of like a side path I've taken. And yeah, so some of what you're saying is definitely striking me. I'm supposed to learn more about going forward this summer from the diocese. But in the meantime, it looks like I'll have another year to work. So trying to figure out how to do that.
The people who are going to make the decisions about you progressing in the church, put a honey jar on them.
Yeah, I've thought about that actually recently.
Okay, I'll be
very
quiet.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Michael, for that. That was wonderful. I'm going to give you some suggestions, some really quick ones, and then we're going to open it up and see if Madam Nadia and Ms. Michael want to add further on to that. This actually really goes to something that we've been chatting a little bit, myself and Alchemical Artisans Hour in the chat room. Alchemical Artisans Hour has rightly pointed out at one point that, you know, just being honest or being right doesn't stop the predators in the world. And that person, and they're right. They're absolutely right about that, that it doesn't stop it. You being the best teacher in the world, for example, isn't going to stop those two veterans or those couple of veterans from making an issue. So this is where the mirror box is very good, right? You bind them up, you take proactive work to stop it. But while the defensive is good, we have to also move beyond the reactive. And I think this comes into a lot of the kind of state of mind that we're in. When something comes in that kind of throws us off balance, or when someone is mean to us or harsh or predatory or cruel or evil, it can throw us off balance. But we have to ask ourselves, not all of us, because we come across these situations, every single one of us, how much of our power are we willing to abdicate? They have no power over us that we do not give, right? And we continue because we sometimes doubt ourselves, we're hesitant, because we're taken aback by the betrayal, because of the emotional hurt and wound. We abdicate our power. And so we need to move beyond this kind of position of weakness. We want to balance out, you always want to balance out defensive and reactive work with work that reaffirms your power, your position, and makes you an anchor in the school or wherever it is so that the gossip and drama does not stick. When this happens, you strip the people of their power. You strip them of their strength, and they fade away. This is very important because sometimes we end up engaging in these overly dramatic and unnecessary conflicts of back and forth, right? I have clients sometimes come to me years and years ago, and they'd be like, I've been battling this person for 6 years. I light reversing candles. They light reversing candles. I'm like, why on earth are you going back and forth like that? Real work, root work is always tied to the metaphor of disposal. You dispose of something then you walk away without looking back. There's a reason we do that in root work. That's not an idle, you know, oh, that's a superstitious thing the old people didn't know. They did that for a very reason. Because you walked away with God. You were confident, you were strong, you did your work, and you dispose of it. You're done. There is no going back. There is no opportunity for that person to come back. So it's important that in addition to doing the mirror box, you do work that reaffirms you, that builds you up, that gives you strength, and makes these people fade away. Because I get a sense that over the year, they will no longer have power over you. And then you, from that position of strength, you can go on to the church that you would like to go on to, whatever it is that you need to do. So in addition to the mirror box, I want you to use slippery elm. Get yourself slippery elm, burn it to ash while praying Psalm 91, take the ashes and cross your shoes. Slippery elm allows you to slip through the gossip without it being able to stick to you. It allows you to slip through the drama without it even bothering you, affecting you. People will say something and it will roll off of you and it won't do anything. And you'll even see other people will just not even pay attention. They'll try to gossip about you and they'll just, the audience will just not listen. It just has no effect. So slippery elm is really powerful. Use that. In addition to that, active work. Sprinkle peace water. Get yourself a sweet jar on all the administrators and your fellow teachers. If, you know what? Mix a batch of cookies. Pray over the sugar. Pray over the ingredients. And then go and give it to the administration. Go give it to your fellow teachers. Build up a strong alliance of people who go, you know what? Charlie's amazing. I don't want to hear what you have to say. He's great, right? So you want to work in a proactive fashion that builds you up, that makes it impossible for this other, these naysayers to even have an effect on your life. When you strip them of their power, they become shadows. They become nothing. They become empty shells. And it will have a real effect. They'll leave the school. They'll retire. They'll do whatever it is, right? And then you're free to do what you want to do. So that's what my recommendation is. And I give this from a position of experience, not just from working for clients, but as a person who works in the education field. I've come across very similar things and very similar experiences, and this is something that I myself have done, and it's worked fantastically. So I would recommend it. Let me see if Ms. Michael and Madam Nadia can add anything. They did the reading, so they have some very specific thing that they may want to add on there. Well, maybe there's a particular ingredient they're interested in. Let's go first to Madam Nadia, and then we'll check with Ms. Michael. So, Madam Nadia, do you have anything to add or something that you can suggest to tweak this and make this a little bit more personal based off of the reading that you've given?
It's more a state of mind than anything, but Charlie, how old are these people?
Oh, goodness.
Are they older?
I guess they're older than me, definitely, because I'm fairly new and fairly young. They're in their 40s, maybe late 40s.
Okay.
So not terribly, they're not older people exactly, but they've been in the school a good long time.
It feels, the way I feel the situation is that you are just in the beginning of your career, and they reach the highest point where they ever going to get. This is their bitterness. Mm. When they see somebody like you and they see the opportunities before you and that you actually have a plan and you sound to me like a wonderful human being, it pisses them off. So they emit this disgusting, foul vibe and whatnot. So reminding yourself that you're just in the beginning and trying to look at every time they're being nasty, take it as a compliment. They're just being jealous. And with a card like Temperance, I showed it before, it's also the beauty of this card is that it tells you this is it's going to change. Don't get stuck in that sort of yucky environment. Don't let them pull you into that. Remember that you're just a baby teacher. You go, you have a path, and all they're going to get, where they're going to be, I promise you, in 10, 15 years, they're still going to be doing exactly the same thing. They're just going to be nastier and more bitter. So if you can change your state of mind and seeing that perspective, and, of course, you can incorporate root work, you know, Crown of Success products are wonderful like that. Vision. Mm-hmm. You know, just to see the situation as it is, that is going to be really, really, really helpful. And I agree with Conjurman Ali, because the minute you're going to put yourself in a position of victory, success, other people are going to start flocking to you. Because this is what people do. Mm-hmm. They flock to their strong personality, whether it's negative or positive. And I think that this is just seeing that is going to change your mind and to change your attitude and give you a little bit more hope. Okay?
Yeah, no, that's, and you know, what you said about jealousy definitely, it resonates. I was recently given AP and honors classes for next year as a first year teacher. So I think there's kind of, you know, pushback against that, but it's exciting.
Good.
Definitely.
Miss Michael?
Yeah. Before I forget, Charlie, you might want to track some Crown of Success oil into those AP and honors classrooms when you start teaching so everyone who walks in succeeds.
I just ordered now, some, actually. So that's...
To slide under your etched radar, wear a bay leaf in your shoe, but write on it. On one side, draw a closed eye, just a semicircle with eyelashes, and write, enemies don't see me. On the other side, an open eye with a heart for the iris and either a dollar sign or another heart for the pupil, because this is your breadwinning job. And write, friends find me, and wear that in your shoe, replace as necessary. And the other one, to cause your enemy's influence to fade, a variation on the old abracadabra spell. Where you write the word abracadabra over and over again, one letter shorter each time until you're down to the letter A. You can either do it that way or with a phrase such as enemies, gossip fade away or stop gossip or something like that. Or there's a verse from the Revised Standard Version of Psalm 9, I can't remember which verse, which says, my enemies have vanished into everlasting ruins.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Track that down. You can use that if you want to. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yes, that's fantastic. And if you go to the Lucky Mojo archives, I believe 4 weeks ago, I actually prescribed a version of the abracadabra that you take off the list. So you could hear the detailed instructions, and that one is to break someone's temper apart. So you can listen to that archives to get more detailed instructions on how to use the what's known as the vanishing letter or the decreasing charm and how to weaken someone or remove their jealousy or remove the influence that they have over you. Thank you for calling in. We are unfortunately the end of our time. Thank you for trusting us with your call, and I know that you will be very successful, and hopefully we'll hear back from you sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
Why don't we have Papa Newt come in, our wonderful announcer, and guide us on to the next section.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 614 in Columbus, Ohio. This is Shine. Shine, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in.
Yes.
And welcome. I see you also have not had a reading with Conjurman Ali or Miss Kat to Miss Maida.
I went to Miss Michaela and Miss Aida.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. On this particular situation, is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
I also had one small chat with Miss Kat much before. That's it.
Oh,
this is my first day call on the show. Yeah.
Oh, well, welcome. And Shine writes, my ex broke up with me as his parents were forcing him to marry a girl of their choice. We stay in the same building. I have been doing vinegar jars with my ex's family and the girl's family. Also between two of them, honey jar reconciliation with my ex, honey jar with my ex's family so that they accept me. Skull candles on my ex's partners to open up to me. Skull candles on the girl's parents to break off the marriage. The ex has started communicating daily again and has been saying that he feels for me and that
and doesn't like the new girl much, but can't break the relationship with her due to the family being involved. Turning back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you, Papa News. This is quite a difficult situation, but not an unheard of situation. If you don't mind me asking, which what's your cultural background?
Hi, I'm from India, so arranged marriages are very common there.
That's why I asked. I have quite a bit of clients from South Asia, and so I hear about the situation quite a bit. What is your sign of the zodiac, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus, and what is your ex's sign?
He's a Libra.
Taurus and a Libra. Okay, it can be an all right mix. Tauruses have a tendency not to let go, so that can be a bit of a problem. I've pulled a few cards here to see what can be done. As Madam Nadia rightly pointed out, Venus. So yeah, there can be quite a decent connection there. I have pulled a few cards here, and I can tell you that this is going to be very, very difficult. That you may, right off the bat, if you are intent on pursuing this, you need to do two things. One, you need to set a deadline for yourself, right? If you don't get what you want by a certain deadline, then you need to move on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be very firm about that. And it's not, and it, you can't play around with this. I see when I tell clients, oh, you need to set a deadline, they usually do this thing where they go, oh, well, my deadline is my birthday. And then, oh, but he called on my birthday. That means I should keep going for another 6 months. No. You need to be back together by that deadline, okay? So I want you to be very clear, very firm, no more than 3 months, okay? No more than 3 months. Second thing, you need to start working with a professional more regularly. You've done a lot of work here, but it seems like your power is just not enough to get to bring big change here because there's a lot of social forces. The very first card that I have here is the Queen of Pentacles. The Queen of Pentacles is someone who is very rooted. It's a person who is successful, powerful. It's a woman who gets her way. But it's not an evil woman, a woman who does what she thinks is right. It is an older woman sitting on her throne with a golden coin in her hand. The sense I get is that the parental influence here is very huge. And it's not a malicious force. It's not a cruel force. It's not a force that's trying to harm him or that is evil towards you. They're doing what they think is right for the child. They see a certain type of future. They want a certain type of future. They want a certain type of success. And they see it with this particular girl, and they don't see it with you at this point in time. They are a big force here. They are not a force that you can easily work around. You're not going to be able to kind of shove them off. Your approach of trying to do opening them up towards you is good, but you're going to lead a little bit more. And I say this because we have, next card is the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords is a person who keeps moving forward, though he turns his head back and he looks over his shoulder. It's a force of it's a card of movement and change and force, the young individual holding a sword. Him communicating with you is just him looking back. The momentum is still moving forward and away from you. So it's, he's not looking back and coming back to you. There's no momentum. Like, just because he's called you in your own regular terms, that does not mean he's returning back into your arms. He's not. He's looking back. He's saying, oh, what's back there? But his legs are still moving him forward. It's not an easy move. It's not one that he does happily. He is quite reluctant. He's dragging his foot, as we can see in this card. But it is moving away, and I do sense that probably soon they're going to have a serious movement between the two of them, whether whatever is the next step, whether it's marriage or engagement or whatever the ceremony is, it's coming up. So be aware of that, that it's not actually as far off as you may think or as he may have indicated. And the final card that I have here is the Devil, and that's where the Page of Swords is leading. The Page of Swords is leading to a bond that binds two people together unhappily and perhaps for the wrong reasons. This card is a mockery of the Lover's card, where we see an angel giving a benediction to two lovers. Here we have two imps who are being given a malediction or curse by Baphomet. So yes, I do see that they will be joined together. It will not be a happy union. It will be for all the wrong reasons. The intent isn't there. He's doing it against his own best wishes, but he thinks that it's the thing he needs to do. As a result, he's going to enter into this
for the wrong reason, and so is she. But this also is a card of warning for you, to be very careful that you don't allow and unleash that darker side of you, that you don't allow the situation to turn into madness, that you don't allow turn this into obsession, because this can easily become obsession. The two of them are getting together for the wrong reasons, and we see the reasons hinted at in the Queen of Pentacles. The Pentacles card is a coin card. It's about matters that it's indicating the wrong intent, right? So I'm going to leave it at that without casting aspersions on anyone. But just know that there is a coin here. There is a Devil card, and that is telling us that the intentions are off and they're getting together for the wrong reason. But to also mind yourself that if after 3 months, after your deadline has passed, you do not get this person back, even with the help of a professional, you need to move on, because it will lead to a sort of obsession that will keep you stuck and unable to find happiness that will come your way. So based off of what
I see
here,
I've already set a deadline.
Good. Based off what I see
here, set a deadline for July, Hold on.
You want to start working with a professional as soon as you can, who will work in tandem with the works that you're doing. That's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to Madam Nadia, who's going to do your second reading, and then we'll have Ms. Malkiel come in and give some suggestions. I'm sorry. Ms. Malkiel is going to do your next reading, and then Madam Nadia will come in with some suggestions. So, Ms. Malkiel, if you would be so kind as to pull a few cards or do a divination and let us know what you can add to this reading.
Well, while Ali was talking about the cards, I was looking into my amethyst crystal ball, and I saw two signs clearly. One was a map of the continental United States, which shows me that your best hope of bringing him back around to you is to increase the influence of the American culture of individualism and free choice of partners on all parties. Make those in favor of the arranged marriage doubt themselves if you can. And the other one was a hooded figure, you know, a lady in like a headscarf or something, leaning over a table or possibly a cauldron. They may have people at least praying for the success of this enterprise. So there may be spiritual forces against you at all, and you've done good, traditional, well-planned hoodoo work. I remember our reading, but I'm drawing a blank on your actual name, which you certainly don't need to tell me on the air. But you've done, you understand this work, and you have a talent for it. You do need help, because you're not alone. There are people doing some kind of spiritual work on the other side, I think. Self-doubt is your strongest weapon right now, aside from the root work that you were doing already. I agree, you do need professional help.
All right. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll probably contact someone after this. That's why I wanted to get a reading on how things are going right now.
All right.
Yeah, but before you move on, we do have a Madam Nadia who can give you some things that you can still do on your own. So some things to consider. Madam Nadia is extraordinarily skilled as a root worker. So let's see if she can offer some suggestions on some things you can do up until your deadline.
Thank you, Conjure Manali. My dear, tell me, are you still occasionally have this man in your house? Is he visiting you sometimes?
Yes, like not in my house, but then probably I go to his place. He comes to my place. He eats whatever I cook. And
good.
Probably...
That's exactly where I was going to. So first of all,
I knew that.
When I add some of your stuff consistently into his food, I think that your power in the situation is the attraction element that he does not have with the woman he is going to marry in arranged marriage. So this is something that you can play up and use. However, I do agree with Conjure Manali, and I think that eventually this marriage is going to happen. So I also think that you need to find a way of after you're done with the with the 3 months or whatever you're going to decide. And if he's not coming back, and I want you to decide exactly what coming back means. Okay, is coming back means making love, is coming back means seeing each other 3 times a week, or is coming back means he's leaving the woman he's about to get married to and he's going to get married to you. I think it's very different, and we all have different distinctions and decisions. My recommendation would be to free yourself and move forward. And it's strictly a matter of finances and status here. It's not about you being a bad woman. It's not about you not being pretty enough or smart enough. It's just a matter of status and decision that is not in your hands. Mm-hmm. But if indeed you're invested in it and you still see that there is no success, I would suggest going to the familiar and the famous cut and clear work. But adding that work when you're done with that work, leaving your ritual remains for the person that you want to attract to you at the crossroads. I have a feeling that if you let go of this man, which is very difficult for you, because that he makes you feel a certain way, and when you are with him, you think like this is it, and then when he leaves, it's like what just happened. I have a feeling that the spirit world hears you, and if you're going to get to the crossroads and you're going to leave those offerings there and you're going to say, I want a man that's going to make me feel like that, but all the time, you're going to get that man so quickly you would not believe. But that will require you to work on yourself, because, you know, first of all, a Taurus already, you're like, this is my target, I'm going to get it no matter what. But I know what it is to be in a relationship where you work really, really hard and it's not happening, especially when there's so much not in your hands. And again, I want to say that it's not your fault. It's not because you're not smart or pretty or anything. It's just how things work there. So if you feed him your stuff, figure out what is a relationship, what does it mean to you? Where can you compromise, if at all? Go to a root worker. If that works, excellent. If it doesn't work, do cut and clear work. Do some work where you separate from him, but the ritual remains. Bring them to the crossroads and address the spirits and tell them, well, this is what happened and this is why I love him, but it didn't work out. I need a person that's going to love me 24/7 for who I am and accept me for who I am, and we'll be happy together. That's my suggestion.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you
for that. Thank you for that, Madam Nadia. I think there's a great deal of wisdom in what Madam Nadia just shared with you. And I hope that you go back and actually listen to the archive and listen to what she says one more time, because I really think there's a lot there. One of the things that I would recommend, because she's right, the cut and clear is absolutely something you need to have ready and prepared. One of the things that I would recommend is, until that time that you're ready to do that, until you're ready to do that, is contact work is very important. The fact that he's still willing to eat with you, that he's able to eat what you give him, gives you an advantage. Putting stuff in his food is a good thing. Now, don't put anything that will make him sick, but adding your sexual fluids to the food that you pray over, adding, if you're giving him something sweet, praying over the sugar, or adding in sugar that is from a fixed jar that has your petition in it. And those are all extremely powerful ways of bringing him closer to you, laying down powders where he's going to walk through it. One of the ways you can do this is you lay down love me, come to me, fires of love, powders around your property and in your home, so that when he's there, he's feeling you. And then put down some breakup powders where he meets with her, so that when he's with her, he's fighting, he's angry, he's unhappy, so that there is a difference. You set yourself apart from this woman, clearly saying, I'm not her, come back. So that he finds a reason to come to you, because you become his source of comfort, his source of love, his source of happiness, while she is stress and unhappiness for him. So definitely something to consider, some work that you can do on your own and you can continue to do until you're ready to start doing the cut and clear work. Contact work is very powerful. It can really give you an edge over this other person. Laying down those powders, making sure you pray over them are very, very powerful ways of turning this around. Let me ask Ms. Michael, because she has done a reading here, if there's any suggestions she would like to add or anything further she would recommend. She did do a reading, so maybe she can give us an insight based off of the reading. So, Ms. Michael.
I'm thinking that you've got him linked to you pretty strongly, but not the other parties in this dispute, really. If you can, we talked about getting through people's protection with fixed gifts. So if you could find some way to get something that you have fixed, even if it's a dollar bill or a card sent in the mail, into their hands, you'd have a link to them, and you could work on their spirits with that spirit of self-doubt that I mentioned before. While they're sleeping, work on the in-laws, work on the girl's parents, and work on the girl to see if you can change her mind.
Actually, they have been having very strong fights in between, and like my ex, he also threatened her that he wants to end the relationship like a week back. But then again, the families came into the picture, and they are trying to pacify things between them. It's happening again and again.
You just got to keep up the pressure on it. Breakup work, this is the kind of the trick to breakup work. I don't know, but we only have a minute left, so I'm just going to give it to you real quickly. Breakup work is not the way people think it is. People often think that you do the breakup work and boom, bam, they're done, they break up, they never want to see each other, they're ready to spit in each other's directions and open. That's not how breakup work does. Breakup work is about increasing pressure until it's intolerable for them to, or intolerable for them to live with one another. Right, and it happens that they'll break up, get back together, break up, get back together, and you keep adding that pressure until something cracks. Right, that's how breakup work works. So you need to keep up that pressure again. Make sure that you know you're ready to move on when time comes. But you keep adding that pressure. Work with a professional. If you can't, if you still keep running into this problem where that you're able to cause a fight but not a breakup, get someone who has a hand in breakup work, who's skilled in breakup work, to do this for you while you focus on the love aspect of it, and then force them apart. That's all the time we have today for your call. Thank you for trusting us.
Thank you so much.
I do wish you well, and do let us know how things turn out. We are going to have a quick announcement, and then Papa Nuke dive in and lead us on to our free spell.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kaya Mon, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Ms. Michael of VoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Take it away, Ms. Michael.
Thank you, Papa Newt. I'm going to give you a spell which consists of one tool. You only need one tool for this, a Bible. That's all you need. And you can find this spell in greater detail on my website if you will Google the word Jinx-O-Matic. Okay? I was inspired by the story of the prophet Balaam, who was sent out by the king of Midian to curse Israel and was stopped on the way by an angel who quoted the Lord as saying, "Your way is perverse before me." Balaam apologized, and the angel sent him on his way to do the job, but said, "You will speak only what the Lord tells you." This passage is in the book of Numbers. You can find that passage and read it and use your enemy's name. Joe Smith, your way is perverse before the Lord. And you will say only what he tells you. And this is the word of the Lord. And then you put in your enemy's mouth all the blessing verses you need, whether it's financial blessing or love blessing or blessings on your health or just the blessing of God's mercy. And if you pick those scriptures out ahead of time, you can do the spell in church. If you are in a church where there's quiet spots in the service or a church where you can just walk in and pray.
Ooh, I really, really love that. There's a couple times, and maybe it was just me, that you cut out. Is there any way to get you to repeat it just real quickly? I don't want it to sound repetitive. It's just because it was. I love this working and working with scripture. Just if you could repeat it, because I think, and it could have just been me. I didn't hear a small portion of it.
Okay, look up the story of Balaam in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's in Numbers chapter 22-24. About the prophet who was sent to curse Israel. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me." And the angel also said, "Go with the men who hired you, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." And then, this is what you tell your enemy, only what the word what the Lord tells you, that is what you will speak. And then you follow that blessing verses you need for your life. And these are the words that your enemy must speak and nothing else. So if you select those scriptures ahead of time, you can do that wherever you can do that at your altar, or you can even take your Bible to church and read those scriptures and aim them at your enemy, put them in your enemy's mouth.
So that they're forced
during
to say
a calm
it.
Spot in the service. Hmm? So that they're forced to say it. So that they mm-hmm. can say, so that they can do nothing but bless you.
This is beautiful, beautiful work, Ms. Michael. And this is a type of work that, to a certain extent, it really ties into the mirror box we mentioned earlier, right? The mirror box is about this too. What you send out, you get reflected back onto you. But the whole purpose of the mirror box is to eventually educate, right? Or to reform mm-hmm. a person, right? To make them stop sending out that bad. And this way, you're actually uh-huh. transforming an enemy into a person, a source of blessing for you, that all they can do is
yes.
say blessing. So I really love that. You do some really beautiful work with scriptural work. Well, what do you think, Madam Nadia?
Well, I think that it's very cool, because really to transform something, how often do we go, well, I'm just going to curse, you know, my enemy, but really to transform mm-hmm. the situation, it's not only a sort of an ethical solution, but it's a very smart solution instead of, you know, just increase the amount of your sins. So I think that in this sense, it's awesome. I also love working with scripture, and I love that there are options here, Ms. Michael, that you can read it on your own and pray it. You can go to church. And I personally, and I know some people would say I would never do that, but I would actually take this bit out of the Bible, and I would do a little doll baby, probably with a candle, baptize it in the name of my enemy, and mm-hmm. I would water that piece of paper, scripture, in something, make a little bowl and stick it in the doll's mouth and do some work
mm-hmm.
with that.
Just to give it
another layer. And I also think that another cool thing that you can do with scripture, especially if it's short, a few short lines, it's not like a whole chapter, is that you can write the name of your enemy like 9 times and then cross it over with the scripture, which just continue writing, you know, when it ends, just begin again and again and again and again. And that's pretty powerful too. But
That I like to do when I want someone, an enemy, to knuckle under and change his mind, is take his picture and put a thought balloon or a speech balloon with what I want him to believe and to say.
Mm.
And use that as a bookmark in your Bible.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
See, works like this are mm-hmm. not just about cursing, destroying, or you know, harming a person. But they really are about reforming a person. Not only is this a really great way of approaching people, but there's actually a very spiritual quality to what you're doing, right? You're redeeming a person and making that person, in turn, a source of your own blessing, right? So you're spreading the blessings of God, or the Creator, or the Lord, rather than bringing down wrath and destruction. It's a very powerful way of working. It's a charitable way of working. And like charity, it has this way of exponentially blessing everyone around, right? So I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it's a great use of scripture. I think we often see scripture work as you know, you're either reciting this kind of generic verse or you're calling down the wrath of God. And people don't see how versatile scripture work really is. The ability to transform person's tongue so that they only say blessings for you. I mean, that is absolutely beautiful, beautiful work. And it comes from really understanding the stories within the Bible, the power within the Bible, and then knowing how to use that and call upon that and invoke that in your own life. So thank you for that working. I think it's also important for people to reflect on the working that you've presented, not just as a spell, but actually as a as an outlook, right? As a perspective that you can take when dealing with difficult people in your lives, when dealing with enemies in your life. Taking this as a perspective, taking this as a point of view or as a spiritual lesson is very important. So don't just memorize the spell, people. Don't just walk away and go, oh, that was so cool. I've got something to add to my book of shadows or what do you want to call it, right? But instead see it as a lesson, really as a lesson. And I think that that was when you're really going to reap the benefits of what Miss Michael taught us today. I do want to say that we are coming to the end of our time. Thank you both for joining us, Miss Michael and Madam Nadia. Thank you, Madam Nadia, for filling in for Miss Kat. You are a wonderful co-host. And let's have Papa Nuke come in and end the show for us.
Thank you, Councilman Ali and Madam Nadia, and thank you, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when we will have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Councilman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Madam Nadia at MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rupert Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here, and do invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time, when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Papa Newt, for being such a wonderful professional. I just want to say that in the chat room, we got a lovely surprise today. Miss Tammy Lee joined us. We want to send our love to Miss Tammy Lee. We definitely miss you. For people who have not yet purchased your tickets for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, tickets are still available. Be sure to purchase those tickets and head out to one of the greatest events for our community. It's put on annually by Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church and Lucky Mojo. We have some fantastic presenters that are going to be there, panels on social justice. We have workshops on bone readings. Professor Porterfield is going to be presenting. There's going to be free books, all sorts of amazing things at the festival, and you do not want to miss out. So please purchase those tickets and partake in the community. See all the people that you hear and on the internet or on Facebook. See them live and in person. For everyone here, I want to say thank you for tuning in and have a great week. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Have a great week.
Goodbye. It was fun. Yeah.